Okay, at this time, I'll go ahead and go through these instructions one more time, and then we'll get started. My email address is editor@marketingexperiments.com, and I'll be monitoring that account throughout the conference if you have any comments or questions or problems logging in. The URL for the notes is mecgroups.com/mec_research_log, and we'll ask you to refresh that page several times during the conference as we add some data and other notes. Key commands that you might find useful on your telephone: *4 will increase the volume on your line, and *6 will mute your line, and then hitting *6 again will unmute your line if you have any questions. Upcoming research that we'll be releasing 2 weeks from today is our next web clinic. That's Wednesday, 22nd at the same time, 4 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. The topic that day will be preventing click fraud. If you'd like to participate in that, you can email me at editor@marketingexperiments.com, and I will get a spot reserved for you. Again, that's 2 weeks from today, Wednesday, June 22nd. Did anyone have a question? I heard some. Okay. Upcoming research briefs that we'll be releasing, we'll be releasing our overstock auctions brief within the next couple weeks. Also, this brief on pay-per-click ad copy. We'll also be testing order paths, and again, how to prevent click fraud. We'll be offering both a clinic and a research brief on that. One more time, the URL is mecgroups.com/mec_research_log. We'll ask you to refresh that page several times throughout the conference as we add some data. You can see a brief biography of Dr. Flint McLaughlin at the bottom of the notes. He will be our primary speaker today, and at this time I'd like to introduce Dr. Flint McLaughlin.
All right, thank you, Brian. The topic today is PPC ad copy, and we're going to look at how testing improved click-through rate by as much as 121%. So we're going to get started with that. I want to welcome you to the call. Some of you have never been on one of these calls before, I'm sure. For those of you that have, we'll be moving through the notes. And as we do, we'll be refreshing your page from time to time so you can see the various tables and charts that we are referencing. And we shall start. This research brief focuses on the most important practices that you want to keep in mind when optimizing your public ad copy. And so with that in mind, let's begin with the study. The primary purpose of any online ad copy really is to get a user to click through to visit the website. And while it is true that the best ad copy, and when we're talking online ad copy here, we're talking about online ad copy in the pay-per-click engines, I would point out there is a, you know, there's also the extra value of institutional/brand recognition, which some for some companies that means nothing. For others, it's still quite significant. But while it's true that the best ad copy will also contribute to high conversion after the click, the easiest factor to measure is the effectiveness of your ads is the click-through rate. And on the pay-per-click search engines, ad copy can be tested to optimize CTR or click-through rate easily. In Google AdWords, for example, multiple ads can be created in the same ad group to test a variety of ad copies or approaches. And the best ad copy can be isolated and optimized even further. So often the best approach will be ads that set your offer apart from those of the competition. Do you have the lowest prices? If so, you may have success with listing the price of your items in the ad itself and perhaps in the title. And do you have the most or the greatest, you know, the most selection or the greatest variety, and listing the number of products you carry in the ad copy may be most effective, et cetera, et cetera. Without giving potential customers a reason to buy from you, you're inviting them to visit your competition. And customers are often searching so fast that they make decisions that can really hurt you or can help in just a moment, matter of seconds. You're really just a click away from rejection on the net. And it doesn't stop there. Your copy must not just garner attention, but it's got to be interesting enough to get the customer to slow down, read it, and click. Now, we're going to be in this study, in just a few moments, going over quite a bit of data with you and showing how we optimized and tested ads. And really, we learned two things that I think are quite significant, and that I have not really come across in the literature review that was done prior to this study. Speaking of the literature review, when we send out the final notes from this study, you'll have, you know, a detailed literature review of good resources across the net that we have looked and studied and rated. that may be of assistance to you when you're trying to, you know, learn more. But for now, I want to bear down on some very specific tests that we began. Because we're continually at MEC trying to understand the most effective way to move the Internet forward. And to measure the effectiveness of pay-per-click ad copy approaches, we set up micro-tests for two different retailers in two different industries. And we were able to derive meaningful results in just a few days of intense testing. And these were the parameters. Two sites were selected for micro-testing, an Internet marketing-related site and a specialty pet product site. So you're talking about services in some sense, and you're talking about products. Each site had a single Google AdWords ad group driving traffic to it. Cost per click bids were set at very low levels for each respective industry in an attempt to control position in the engine. Five pieces of copy were developed for each site, and all remaining ad copy settings remained identical so we could isolate the impact of the changing copy. The ads appeared in both Google search results and the AdSense content-based ad syndication network. So below is an overview, and you should see now in your notes refreshed a chart, and you'll notice the days tested, the search clicks, content clicks, average position in search and content, and the average cost per click. One was 0.21 cents, the other was 0.05 cents. I will not read the chart here because I think it's just more or less introductory to what we're going to talk about, but what you need to understand is that essentially we took this small subsample in what in a kind of MEC's really unique approach at doing micro tests. And out of that, here's what we began to learn. If you'll click, you're going to see some new notes. Here was the ad copy click-through results for each site. In fact, I want to do something different. Brian, how many of those charts have you refreshed in their notes?
I've added the second and third now. If everyone will refresh, they should see them.
Pull out the second and third. Pull it out for those that haven't got it yet. And I'm going to take them to the ads. Are you able to do that rapidly?
Sure, I can do that.
All right. I'm going to change the order of what I have in my preparation. I'd like to look at the ads.
I'm sorry. I don't know where you are on the site. I apologize.
Go ahead, Brian. You can give her that one more time.
Sure.
And you can,
no problem.
Go ahead.
The URL is mecgroups.com.
.com/mec_research_blog.
That's right.
Where after that?
You should just see the very first entry there in the research log. Should have the notes.
Yeah, you're not going to see what I'm saying to you. Only we're refreshing and adding charts and various data. You'll get the copy of the report after this, you know, after when we release the briefing, and that will be emailed to you and also posted on the site. These notes are just various notes that we need in order to give you visuals and so on as we're working through.
Okay.
And what you should see now is, Brian, drop in all five ads, if you would.
They're there. So if everyone will refresh their page, they should see ads 1 through 5 for both sites.
This is, you know, ad 1 through 5, as you lay them out. They're very distinct in why they're written this way, and there's nothing impressive about the ads, but it's when you compare them with the data that you begin to see what happens. Ad 1 was, you know, look at that ad, and did you drop the ads only in, or did you add the commentary about the ads, Brian?
Just the ads only.
Okay. So what I'd like you to do, and again, I'm kind of taking this differently than how we have it planned because I have a thorough set of notes in front of me, but I'm changing it. I'd like to look at those ads for a moment, and as marketers, would you please select the ads that you think produce the highest yield? Just take a moment, look at ad 1 through 5, and you'll see a comparison. Look at those ads and select. There's really, I guess, 10 ads, and if you think about it, one for each site in five groups. So looking at that, I'll give you an example. Here's ad 2. We hold all the secrets. You know, keyword is free marketing research. That would be the title in Google. We hold all the secrets to Internet marketing by now. The next one was site about family dog, pictures and links here. And look at that ad. Then look at ad 3. On ad group 3, lousy marketing ideas, don't come to our site. Ad 3 again, vaguely useful pet site, affiliate links and pictures. Ad 4, web marketing techniques and research, PPC, SEO, eBay marketplace, and more. And then you'll see ad 5, it says dog site, family website devoted to bulldogs, photos, info, resources, and community. Now, if you're a good copywriter, you may be looking at these saying, what are these ads? Some are good, some are bad. And mostly there's distinct differences, variables that we've isolated that you may not be apparent to you, because most of you on this phone can write better ads. But just stay with us and you'll start to see where we're going. There's ad group 5, lousy marketing ideas, web marketing techniques and research, PPC, SEO, eBay marketplace, and more. And then, again, useless pet site, family website devoted to bulldog photo, info, resources, and community. We are isolating, if you study the groups carefully, not only are we changing tone, but we are also changing the actual headline and keeping the body and changing the body and keeping the headline, because we're moving down to answer two critical questions. If you've read those ads and if you've drawn some conclusions, please just kind of make a note to yourself, and I'd rank them in order of what you think was first, second, and third, and respectively for the marketing site and for the specialty pet site. And having had you do that, I'd like you to take a moment, and we're going to go ahead and refresh your page and let you look at the chart on the internet marketing site. We're going to compare all 5 ads for the internet marketing site. Go ahead, Brian.
Okay.
If you refresh your page, you should see a new chart in your notes. It says Test Site A, Internet Marketing Site. Now, if you're looking at that chart, the CTR, click-through ratio, in the far column holds the key. And because those are 4-digit numbers past the decimal point, it's easy to miss the significance of those numbers. What you need to understand is that ad 3 performed 21.5% better than the next best ad for this internet marketing-related website. And it performed 121% better than the worst ad, ad number 3. All right. Now, we want to look at the specialty pet site. So please refresh your notes yet again in a moment. I mean, actually, don't do it yet. Brian, drop in test site B.
Okay.
Tell me when you're ready,
now.
Brian.
Go ahead.
All right. Refresh your notes now, everyone. And we're going to look at the specialty pet site. Ad 1 performed 14.6% better than the next best ad, and it performed 74.8% better than the worst ad. So why did some ads perform better than the others? We can kind of drill down here now and look specifically at the features of the 5 types of copy used for each site. First of all, ad 1, this is an ad that has well-written body copy and used keyword insertion in the ad title. In other words, we included the actual bid for search term into the ad heading or title. To say it yet again, the very word they searched on was included in the header or in the headline of the ad. And out of these specifications performed the best for test site B, a specialty pet product site. So ad 1. Free marketing research, Bulldog info and resources. Family website devoted to bulldogs, photos, info, resources, and community. By the way, all of this was created for testing. Otherwise, we couldn't have shown you the ads. If some of our research partners are, you know, groups like the New York Times or Reuters or Insurance.com, and I couldn't show you what we were doing with them. So the infamous Bulldog site that you're looking at was created by one of our staff members who's on the phone and is probably one of the leading experts in the world on pay-per-click. His name is Aaron Rosenthal. Aaron, are you on? Aaron Rosenthal, are you on the line? If you're muted.
Yes, I am.
Okay. Aaron, this is I hate to tell you this, but this is his website, and we're actually taking up collections here to get him a better pet than the current bulldog that he has. But he's stuck with that bulldog for now because his wife's in love with it, and he's built a pretty highly trafficked community in his spare time. And we're using it deliberately in this test so that we can show you way more information than we could if we had used one of our other research partners. All right, so ad 2 is poorly written body copy with keyword insertion in the ad title. And there's examples there here. Ad 3 is kind of an over-the-top piece of poorly written body copy using keyword insertion in the ad title. It's over-the-top, you know, in that it says lousy marketing ideas, don't come to our site, and et cetera. Look at ad 4. This was well-written body copy with poorly written ad title. Now, it's debatable that it's well-written body copy. It's decent. It could clearly be optimized. I'm sorry, was that a question? Okay, now ad 5 is well-written body copy and an over-the-top title. All right, with that in mind, if you'll go back and think about your numbers, ad 3 and ad 1, ad 3 was your winner in the internet marketing site. And ad 1 was your winner in the Bulldog site. Interestingly enough, the kind of reverse psychology internet marketing ad we described as over the top actually outperformed all the other ads for that site. Now, you've got to ask the question why, because that's not the case for the pet site, which brings me to a point that isn't in my notes yet. I think we'll come to it, and that is that you cannot just attend an MEC clinic or read what we do and then go locate the ad. You must test for your own niche. But listen to me, because I think there's a psychological reason why both of these ads did well, and I think there's a psychological reason we can isolate when we look at the marketing ad. Essentially, it's not about the fact that the ad was funny. It's about the fact that the ad was different. Now, different gave it a distinctive tone, and a distinctive tone helped it more or less stand out from the rest of the competition. Obviously, ads about marketing content are everywhere, and every variation of hype that could be conceived of has been created to sell marketing content. Yet again, people are still spending enormous amounts of money, many of them spending $5, $6, $7 a click in the pay-per-click engines to sell their marketing. And this ad, and I think this is very significant, outperformed the others, not simply because it was cute, but because it had a significantly different tone, and it almost poked fun at the basic dishonesty going on in the hype-laden sales pitches that we are laying or smothering people with right now across the net. And that's a significant point. It's something you really need to think about, because, and I don't know, gentlemen, if you know this, is, Brian. Some of these things I want you to get, you know, in our finals as we're working through these briefs together. But listen to me. You cannot write pay-per-click ads in a vacuum. You cannot sit down and think about the smartest way to write your pay-per-click ad, any more than you can run your business without paying attention to the other competitors or voices if you're going to eventually have any significant position in your niche. What you need to do when you're writing your pay-per-click ads is get the copy of the competition printed and in front of you. We create spreadsheets with the competition's ads in them and compare them side by side, and we look at what is the distinctive voice that we can utilize. And while you may read many things on the internet about how to write good ad copy, if you don't understand the necessity of differentiating with tone, you're missing out on potential conversion. Now, I tell you that because there's more here. One of the things that you need to really understand is the impact on the click-through rate with poorly written body copy was slight, but the effect of poorly written title copy was great. It was significant, leading us to the conclusion that most potential, or tentative conclusion, that most potential customers focus on the title rather than the body. For test site A, ads with good titles, that's ads to 1-3, performed 53.6% better than those with poorly written title. For test site B, ads with good titles performed 48.5% better than those with poorly written titles. This suggests, and obviously more experimentation needs to be done, but this suggests that when it comes to these 35 character limitations and the issues that are associated with pay-per-click, particularly in Google and Overture, that the headline is the most significant piece for you to focus on. So then, thus leads us to a question, and that is, what are the most important practices to keep in mind when optimizing your PPC ad copy? And I'm going to start talking through that, but I do want to take a moment and let you ask any questions that you may have before we go forward. So if your phone is on mute, press star 6, and if you have a question for me, please go ahead and take advantage of this. Otherwise, I'll move heavily into this other.
What about selling things? You know, I guess you guys set these sites up to just drive traffic to them. And, you know, we can all kind of drive traffic to our sites, but, you know, what about conversions and whatnot? Because
absolutely. We have tested over a million. By the way, when you ask a question, can you give us your first name?
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
My name is Lee Jinke. I work with ProHealth.
Okay. We have about a million terms that we have tested in Google. And you know, we drive, you know, on one particular site, and which MEC is actually, I mean, running the test and doing the marketing spend, we drive between, and not just pay-per-click, but we drive between 300 to 1,200 orders a day right now. It's a test site. But it's real orders, real people buying products, and it even has a residual piece. I tell you that to say that, you know, it's a valid point, but we've been testing this with other areas. We just can't sometimes put some of that data in these reports because we're protecting the research partners.
Right.
But, you know, I think you're going to find that in general, the two points that we've brought up here still are valid because, honestly, they're not going to click through. I mean, you can't sell them anything until you get their click. And the only thing I would say, and we're going to talk more about that when we get into the rest of this body, there are some things you can do with that headline that will improve, and with your body copy, that will improve conversion. Now, if you're trying to figure out the ROI on your ad campaign, you've got to factor in two key points, and click-through is not the main one, as you well know. Just how many people click on your offer page will not, you know, that doesn't put any money in your pocket, and you can have real high click-through and real poor conversion. On the other hand, you may want to have less click-through and more qualified clicks, particularly when you're buying expensive terms.
Get that, please.
So there are some ways we'll be, you know, talking about that and showing you that in the future. But do I have any other questions? Let me get into this body copy, and then you can ask me more as you'd like as we move through it. So, again, most important practices to keep in mind, best practices when optimizing PPC ad copy. I want to move through some of these for you now. And the most important element of your PPC ad copy, this is numeral one, is the heading or title. Now, you may want to take notes on this, but also bear in mind we're going to be sending you this a whole briefing and report and literature review, etc. The most important element of your pay-per-click ad copy is the heading or title. The more potential customers identify with your heading, the more likely they will click on your ad. The number of characters allowed in your heading is quite limited, so optimizing the best possible combination of words is of prime importance. Obviously, if there's anything significant in that point, it's something I've already said twice more in this conversation, and that is focus on your headline. Number two, using relevant keywords in the ad title usually works very well. Most of you know this, I would assume, but you'll get higher conversion if your headline copy has, you know, on your ad, say in Google, includes the search term that people were utilizing when they found your ad. An example would be if your product was diamond rings, and if the search term was discounted diamond rings or discounted diamonds, then you would want the word discounted diamonds / discounted diamond rings in your headline, depending, of course, on space limitations, etc.
May I ask you a question?
And your name is? Go ahead.
Steve Breyer.
Go ahead, Steve.
I have noticed that everybody seems to be using dynamically created headlines to match the search terms.
Yes.
And if you go to certain categories, everybody has the same headline generated exactly the same script.
Yes, it's true. One of the things that
so
you want
therefore,
to do.
What's the advantage?
Well, it had a distinctive advantage in the beginning, and it's lost some of its advantage when you do this automatically triggered unless, and there's some perimeters that you can control. But bear in mind, this goes back to the earlier point, and that is that you cannot write pay-per-click ads in a vacuum. You must look at what the competition is doing in order to get some distinction. Aaron, would you like to comment or add anything to that?
That's exactly how I would have phrased it. When Google first offered the dynamic keyword insertion, it was a vast advantage to those who were advertising using it. But since then, it has become vastly overused in many of the hot topic search terms that are being advertised. However, it is still a effective technique when used inside the body itself. When using dynamic keyword insertion, if a advertiser creates a, I'm sorry, I'm getting some feedback. Can everybody hear me?
I can hear you well, sir, Aaron.
I can hear you.
Go ahead.
Okay. I just want to make sure. Dynamic keyword insertion inside the body itself we have found increased conversion quite a bit when used in the manner of we carry X or X, the search term found here, something along the lines where it incorporates the search term into the body in an educated manner.
Excellent. All right, let me keep going. It's a good question, and I think that it's a relevant point. So when you're using, you know, if you're including the relevant keyword in your title, consider either doing it manually and doing it so that you can do it differently than what your competition is doing, or consider doing it in the body rather than the title so that you can distinguish yourself from the competition. Or if you're in some categories, there's just not that stiff a competition, and it'll still give you a conversion lift, I think, when you use it in those areas.
Sure.
Point three here is, if your prices are the lowest or close to the lowest in your industry, consider placing product prices in the ad title. It can boost CTR and it can skyrocket conversions. You know, most of you know this, but the comparison search engines are different than, say, Google and Overture in that you go to an engine like DealTime, which became Shopping, which was just acquired, or PriceGrabber, or some of these. You go to these engines, they list your product, or they list side-by-side tables of everyone's products based on price, delivered price if it's a good one. And then along with that, they rank or allow you to choose how you want to see them, but they also compare customer ratings. The point I want to make for you is that traffic coming from a comparison search engine typically converts much higher than traffic coming from pay-per-click sites like Overture or Google. Because the shopper, number one, is there to buy. Number two, he's already seen important purchase points before he clicked on your ad. Now, you can take a lesson from that. And if cost is expensive and if you've got really good prices, by putting the cost in the ad, you can boost CTR, click-through, and really increase conversion, or you can reduce click-through but still increase ROI, return on investment, because you've had less clicks that were from people who are not qualified. So consider that when you're making your plans. It has to be tested, because I've seen adding a price cost an ad to tank, but it's one of those things that's quite easy to test, and it's something you should consider. Free add-on offers work well in the ad title. For example, if you offer free shipping, free bonus software, or a free 30-day trial, try mentioning that in the ad title and the primary offer in the body. That's a good point. That's number four. Number five, make sure the display URL is the shortest possible URL. Display URLs are basically free brand exposure. Now, you know what that is. At the bottom of the ad, That's the www part. That's the what you display for them to click on. Even when no one clicks your ads, you're still receiving exposure. And if your site domain is say something like marketingexperiments.com, do not use http :// www. You know, marketingexperiments.com/ad copy_article as the display URL. Make it simple, uncomplicated, and as memorable as possible. Number six, it is best to display URLs with the www in front of them rather than simply marketingexperiments.com. Though it might not be necessary to use www to reach your site, it lets the customers clearly know that they are seeing a website URL, and it still seems to improve conversion, which is a point many of us have wondered. Number seven, Google will let you use some capitalization in the displayed URL. So using, you know, marketingexperiments.com as an example, capitalize the M and the E, and it makes it much more readable. You know, a lot of times it's very hard. If you had the word free, I'm trying to think of a word that starts with an E, free earmuffs, you've got three E's at the beginning there. Using a capital F and then a capital of the word earmuff, for what it's worth, it'll make a big difference in people remembering or understanding your URL. It also makes it much easier for them to type it in if they have to go back and do so. When possible, try to quantify your ads. If you have the most or the greatest, then don't say that in a vague adjective or superbly. Say it with precision. Quantify it. Over 27,433 products to choose from. Say that. Rated 5-star by Yahoo. You know, you could, boy, some of you need a Yahoo store just to get a higher ranking, just to use the Yahoo store ranking as a sales tool. Same thing with BizRate. It's just harder to get the rating in BizRate. The bottom line is a 5-star ranking in the right site is a conversion tool. It means a whole lot more than being a member of the Online Better Business Bureau, for instance. Number nine, avoid using hype in your ads. This is especially true for those products. Sounds familiar? We just talked a little bit about this. But for more on a different approach, look at our article on transparent marketing. Brian, let them know the link to that right now, please.
Sure. That's link number two in the notes towards the bottom.
I wrote this piece probably 2 or 3 years ago. I guess it would be at least 3 years ago, and it has been, I don't know what it was about it, but it just went everywhere, all over the internet. I wrote it originally for Simon & Schuster editors at Aprimo, and it got picked up, and we find it everywhere, and I forgot how many languages we've counted that it's been translated into, and quotations are everywhere. And I'm not saying that to say it's a good piece. It just caught us all by total surprise. And really, I think if you read the report, if you haven't already, it'll really kind of shake you into a new way, or jolt you into thinking in a new way about trying to reach the postmodern consumer with your sales copy. Number 10, create a sense of urgency in your ads if it can be done without hype. Rather than words like amazing or unbelievable or try limited time offer or available for overnight shipping, you know, those kinds of things don't matter. If you can say offer expire, only 100 items, you know, or 5 items left, or I don't know how to say it with urgency. But what we don't like is when sites use, for instance, on their offer page, a JavaScript that tells this offer expires at such and such a time, and basically that offer changes every single day, and the time changes automatically. That's not true. It's dishonest. And, you know, it disgusts me. No wonder the customers don't trust us. If we're going to get their trust, then let's win it by telling them the truth. And if there is urgency, boy, you want to use that. And if you create urgency, create it. Don't lie to do it. All right, so number 11, use clear, precise sentences, not just keywords. Now that's important. I just, you know, you don't skip over that. You read ads in here where they're trying to be as short as possible. It's like, you know, it's like Morse code, but or text messaging, but that doesn't work in good ad copy. People are looking at your ad in a blitz of a few seconds, and they're not looking because they want to click on it. They're looking so they can eliminate it and click on something else. People, when they have lots of information to digest, like lots of mail coming in and they're standing there in their email box or they're standing there at the post office, they look first to see if it's okay to discard what's in their hand. Or you know, either that's an envelope or it's under the finger of that mouse click. So make your sentences clear. Number 12, when space is available, always add a credibility indicator. Now, examples of these include, you know, the money-back guarantees that look good, five-star rated merchants, you know, rankings, awards, even the number of customers or members. But do something quantitative that adds to your credibility. Now, I know I talked about quantitative earlier, but I'm talking about specifically something we call credibility indicators. Those are critical, and they need to be used in your ads to distinguish you from everyone else. I'll guarantee you right now, I think we did a test on this, and if we did, it's in the works. But you can go right now to one of the comparison search engines. You can have an ad that has the lowest price, and you can have a product right next to it that has a slightly higher price. And if the ad with the higher price has a five-star rating and the ad with a lower price has a four-star rating, most often than not, or more often than not, the higher-priced item will still get the click. Now, that's significant. It means that superb customer service is a marketing expense. It's not just a an operating cost, and it impacts conversion, and it also allows you to charge more and get away with it. So if you've got it, make sure it's in there. It's really, we call it third-party credibility indicators because we mean it doesn't come from you. It, you know, if a man comes to me and says, "Friend, I don't think you're honest," and I look him in the eye and say, "I promise you, I am," what good is that? If I was dishonest, it doesn't mean a thing, and if I am honest, then, you know, I'm in the same place. The only way it will matter is if he has experience with me or he talks to somebody who does. So then, that's why we like these third-party credibility indicators. Number 13, be aware that CTR is not the only important factor in a highly effective PPC ad. Conversion rate is also very important. The temptation on PPC engines is to use highly specific ad copy to pre-qualify your clicks. This may allow you to pay for less clicks while achieving a higher conversion rate. So many of us get excited about click-through, and we're not recognizing that it's about ROI. I'll go a step further. It's not even about conversion. You know, there are groups out there right now, and conversion is highly important. We all know it. And everyone's out there talking about conversion. I want to tell you something. The more you increase the amount of traffic coming to your site, likely the more your conversion will drop. But that is not the magic number. The magic number is how much money do you have left over at the end of the month. That could mean that you're better with more traffic with lower conversion because the traffic is cheaper or because the amount of money in the end is still greater. It's a central microeconomics. Many of us aren't clear on that, and you know, we focus on the one without the other, and more than that, and we've written another report which we recommend on basically how not to lose your shirt in pay-per-click. But I have analyzed Aaron and Jeremy. I don't know, Jeremy, are you on the phone? Jeremy Brookins? He may or may not be. But these guys here are head research up in this area, and we have analyzed the pay-per-click campaigns for companies that spend small amounts of money and some spending more than $1 million a month just in Google. And over again, we have discovered that they really don't know what their ROI is, their return on investment, how much money they really made. Part of the reason is that they make assumptions. For instance, and we have to do this sometimes, but the assumption is that my margin is 30%. And I had one research partner who's assumed for certain his margin was 30%, and so we drove sales through the roof, and at the end of the month, he was in trouble. And he came back to me and said, well, what's wrong here? I said, you better go back and look at your numbers, Ian. What he found out, that his margins were much lower than he thought. Some products were 30, some were 40, but he had never really studied his margins and truly understood what they were. If that assumption is wrong, then you may be losing money and not knowing it, or you may be underbidding when you should be buying way more of the traffic that your competition is getting. Number 14, I'm almost done. Create a unique approach that focuses on the opposite or reverse of what your competitors are doing or advertising. Sometimes that difference in psychology or voice or tone can make a huge difference in terms of click-through. By the way, if you do this, and this needs to be part of the steps too, if you do this, you must go back regularly and check these ads, because the competitors often respond rapidly, and you're leaving a lot of money on the table unless somebody on your staff is looking regularly at these ads and what's happening around you on the site. A lot of us go in and check our, we just go in and click through and we check our control panel and see how the ad's performing and what position it's in. But we don't really study the ads around it. You should make that, you know, a regular routine, because they change constantly and it impacts you. Finally, I would suggest in 15, there's a number of links. Brian, are those links in there?
Yes, they are. They're links 3 through 10 in the notes.
Links 3 through 10 are all reports we've been doing on pay-per-click. Avoiding unprofitable pay-per-click campaigns, that's very critical. The Google AdWords Tested Part 1 and 2 is an old report. It's probably a year and a half old, I'm guessing, but the principles remain the same. It's quite valid, and it's probably got the deepest look at Google that I've seen in terms of AdWords. It doesn't just have the AdWords reports, but it has an actual blueprint for setting up a Google campaign. You can download it in a, you know, PDF or a Word document. And all the way back, some of these earlier ones, the five paid search engines tested, is pretty old. We continue to update these. Those you'll find principles, but I think these first, these all the way down to pay-per-click for subscription-based sites, that's really good if you've got a sub-site. All of those are relevant and could be useful for you. So with that in mind, I'm going to bring this to a close in a moment, but I'll open the floor for any questions that you might have.
Sure.
You got some guys in the line that have worked in this intensely, so now's your chance. Fire at us if you have something.
Hi, my name is Jerry.
Yes, Jerry.
Two items. The transparent marketing report doesn't seem to be coming up.
Okay.
But the other item is, what about white paper offers?
Excellent question. First of all, the transparent marketing offer, if my staff, Brian, check onto that, please. Make sure the link is right. And if necessary, email everyone here, you know, either a copy or the correct link. But likely, I think the link is right. We probably need to check our servers. Number two, white paper. White papers are only as good as their title in terms of click-through. They were a great idea when they were new. And they're still a good idea if the information is really mission critical. A lot of us, and frankly, the idea, now let me go a step further, the idea of an intermediate step where you're advertising something that may not cost money in order to gain a good prospect is still a very sound and valid move for the pay-per-click engines and for any of these expensive opportunities. But it's always predicated upon certain variables. And one of the variables that typically makes it work is if you have a fairly expensive product. I tell you, if I was building a company to compete in the engines instead of building a company and then looking at the engines and saying, what can I do in them, one of the first things I would look for is significant margin, because it allows you to do so, you could be so much more competitive. And if you're a lead generation site, or if you have a technology sale, a long sales cycle, if you have a complicated product or a high dollar product, in any of those categories, an interim offer, such as a white paper, is a good idea, but it will only succeed in relation to its direct appeal. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Good question. Someone else?
It's Lee Chinke again from ProHealth. I was curious about landing pages.
Yes.
And the impact they have on this, because, again, it's conversion and overall profitability that I'm really concerned about. You know, one of our PPC has the lowest AOV of all of our channels. We're trying to really build that up. And improve our profitability via this channel because we think there's lots of opportunity here.
You ought to, first of all, email Brian Lee or email editor and with your question so that I can give you some more relevant information.
Okay.
In research, but let me answer your question now and this by telling you this, because we have some research on that specific area that we're involved with right now, and there might be a way to make something like that work. But two, I mean, we might be able to do something to include something you're working on within your channels in terms of we got a big research project coming up.
Okay.
But secondly, let me say this to you. I think that I use the pay-per-click ads to figure out what my landing page is supposed to say and to test the key points in my offer. And there is something in the way you control the user expectations and the path that starts with going to the engine, typing a search term in, all the way through to that you've got their credit card number. There has to be a synchronicity in this, or you lose them with interrupts. And what I mean by that in terms of its relation to your question is that if you the headline that you used in your pay-per-click ad, if you've got a well-performing keyword, you need to use that same word in your headline on the landing page. And it's best to customize the landing pages for those promising campaigns.
Right.
And it's very good to pay attention to the body copy that matters the most. And, I mean, really, you want them to see that as soon as they come to your site because that's what got them there. And if they see it and it engages them with a hook, now you get them into dialogue, and that's the only way you're ever going to make a sale is to get the dialogue started.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
So it's a very good point. Yes. Anyone else? All right, let me ask you a question. For those of you that are on the line, I don't know who or how many we had. I know we had just about 100 people registered, 90-some or 100 people registered. And we always have less than what we register in these. We have to kind of put limits because we have issues as to how many are on the trunk lines. And but the bottom line is, are you finding this information helpful? Please give me feedback so our next clinic will be better. Talk to me for just a moment. Is this useful for you?
It's very, very useful.
Very.
Yeah, one of the best things I've been able to find on PPC and the other things you guys do research in. So
I appreciate that. What kinds of tools, like for instance, one of the things we do with some of these reports, like avoiding unprofitable pay-per-click, we actually built a spreadsheet tool that you can utilize to help figure out whether you're making money or not in your pay-per-click. And some will need it, some will not, but it's useful to many people. Do the tools help you? Do you like it with these? We do this, we listen to you, we learn from this, and then we go back and re-edit the briefs and reports, and then we release them to after we've had this interaction with you. Along with that, we try to give the literature review, and we give the tools. And I kind of have two questions for those of you that are on the phone right now. Do you like tools like spreadsheets and items like that that can help you?
Absolutely.
Are they really useful? Are they worth all the effort on our part?
Yes.
They're free, but
yes.
Do they help you?
Yes.
Well, certainly.
Okay. What about the literature review? We add that to our reports. Do you find those? Does anybody else, click on the other links that we talk about at the end that we rate
yes.
and put in there?
Yes.
Is that helpful?
They're very helpful.
Okay. One more thing, and I don't think we're going to do this, and I've asked it before, but how useful would it be for the reports that we send out to be over a year, if they were organized and built into a compendium and more or less a digest in book form with additional research and information? Would that be valuable? Let's say a new subscriber could get the last 12 months of research already printed, already in a book, and not just what we send to you, but actually, I think it would need to be professionally formatted for the book and then a lot of additional research. Is that useful? Would people be interested in having that when they subscribed?
The question is how long it'll actually last, how long it'll be.
Well, we would update it every year. In other words, we'd send out a compendium every year that would match a blueprint, so that people could have it should be pretty timely for that, 12 months. And then we'd do a completely new one. And I don't know if we should do this, but I'm asking for your thoughts.
I think it's less alive than what you're doing now.
I couldn't hear you say that again. Go ahead again.
It's less alive than what you're doing now.
Alive? Is that what you said?
Less alive.
Okay.
A little more static, a little more formal, a little bit less alive, Stephen.
And we would still. Do you mean that? Did I communicate that we would do that instead of this? I'm saying if we still did the reports, like we do the written, and we still do the conferences, but giving you a way to get all the data in one place, is that worth us working on that?
Absolutely.
I would say yes. Personally, being you're not always sitting in front of the computer and taking it on an airplane and being able to take notes.
Yeah.
I love the discovery
process of your website.
Okay.
Yeah,
I love the different opinions. Don't let anybody, you know, I like to hear, I'm hearing, I think one negative and several yays. Do I have any more negatives or yays?
Yes, this is Barb. I'm a negative. I was in publishing, and I just think if you want to consider it quarterly, perhaps, but,
I see.
You know, I wouldn't look at something a year old. This business moves too fast.
That's interesting. That's a good point. We've also thought of doing it loose-leaf binder style and sending out compendiums where you update the binder, you know, where you could exchange. We looked at a lot of things, but we're not looking, it's not like we're hunting for a product because we need something to sell. We're looking for a way to make, when I go to the site, I look at it, and it's just so much. I wonder if some people are able to get that. We've even thought of making one master PDF with everything in it, that, you know, the last 12 major reports, for instance.
I recommend
the idea of quarterly is great. You know, doing it on as a loose leaf basis would be outstanding. I think, you know, there's that business book summary deal that you can buy that summarizes all the business books that have been published throughout the year, and they send you stuff once a month. You toss into, you know, you can read that, you know, in 20 minutes and toss it in a binder when you're done.
Yeah.
You know, you're onto something if you do it quarterly.
Okay. All right. Well, listen,
I think you should change your logo.
Okay.
And make it Jonah in the whale.
Jonah in the whale. Okay. All right. Well,
question.
Yes, go ahead.
Michael Madden, Broadcaster Training. Regarding the URLs that are listed on the pay-per-clicks. First of all, one of the gentlemen had talked about in the dynamic keyword insertion, both in the body copy and for a headline. I've had a lot of success with that, although the relevancy sometimes gets jumbled if the search term is a little off from what my offer is. But
right.
You did talk about adding the www before it. Now, my question is this. I have a number of URLs for my business, one of them broadcastingcareer.com, another one freeradioreport.com. But have you tested, the relevancy towards, what's more important, branding something or the relevancy of the keyword, if I can match it up as close to what is
the relevancy of the keyword.
Okay.
I can, you know, the truth is we test, when we were trying to figure out what URL in the old days when we could do this in Google, when we were testing URLs to use, we would actually test a URL that we had that closely connected with the actual search term or the item they were after, and that always had the higher click-through.
Okay, now on the adding the www portion, that was that discovered in another research that I can look at, or where did you come up with this, that that's actually better than just putting, say, broadcastingcareer.com?
It's based on a collective experience through a number of research projects. Aaron, is there any comment you want to answer to that?
It's several independent tests, and I don't think that we published a research brief or article on that. I'm trying to recall off the top of my head, but I don't believe that an article has been published with those results.
But we've personally done several independent tests on this subject. I know of, and that's what you're saying also, Aaron?
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's a great insight, because that's exactly, I'll be typing www tens of thousands of times tonight, I guess.
Well, I think what I would do if I was in your case, I would type it into some of your higher performing keyword groups and then some of your lower performing, and then I would study to see if you see any conversion difference for yourself.
Right, okay.
Before I did it across my whole platform. But in either case, we appreciate everyone. I'm going to go ahead and slip away and keep telling people about us. We would appreciate that, and we'll keep researching.
Appreciate
okay?
your work.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Good experience.
Thank you.
Okay.